We're going to a familiar story found in Luke chapter 10. Make our applications from there. I'm going to take from the story this thought, the best choice. The best choice. We all have choices we have to make from time to time. But here in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, we find a story very, very human. Sometimes we joke about choices. Choices have consequences. We recognize that. We joke sometimes. Stephen said a little something about it this morning. We joke a little bit about our marriage relationships sometime. I was joking around a little bit some years ago with my wife, and I said to her, you know, we had a little disagreement. Anybody in here that's never had a disagreement with your husband and wife, now don't you listen to this. I'd hate to spoil your record. Amen. But if you have, you might could relate to this just a little bit. And I said to her, I don't understand how God could make you so beautiful and so dumb. She said, that's easy, Mickey. He made me beautiful so you'd choose me. Made me dumb so I'd choose you. Amen. Choices, man, have consequences. Since they have consequences, we need to make good ones, good choices. Amen. I want us to look in the story right here in John chapter 10, and we pick it up in about, Luke chapter 10. Hope you went to Luke chapter 10. Verse 38. Okay, do something with your phones now, please, for me. By the way, let's just stop. If your phone's on, turn it off right now, would you? I called the president first thing this morning, asked him not to call a one of you during church service. Amen. It's just not that important. Amen. You're in the house of God. Turn the things off. Look with me here in Luke chapter 10. Pick it up in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. Now we'll find out if we read Matthew that was Bethany. Or John tells us it's Bethany. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now here's a story you ladies can relate. Two companies at the house. There's some men waiting on lunch to be fixed. You got a sister, you're in the kitchen, you're working, you're cooking, you're fixing, and the sister's not helping you. Can you relate to that? Yeah, I see a bunch of heads nodding. Very human story. And so Martha complains to Jesus about it. Now she didn't say it quite like you would. She didn't say, tell my lazy sister to get in the kitchen. She didn't do that, but she did complain. And but the answer, I think, probably surprised Martha just a little bit here. Now, this was a good family. You can read about them again in John 11 and in John 12. And these two sisters had a brother by the name of Lazarus. And Lazarus was dead. And they sent for Jesus. And he delayed his coming, but finally came. And after 4 days, when the body would have been corrupted, he called him forth from the grave. And some of you know this. The shortest verse in the Bible, John 11, 35. Jesus cared because it said Jesus wept. He wept. This is a good family. He's here. They're getting ready to serve him, and Martha's concerned now that she's having to do all the work by herself. But Jesus gives her the answer here when he says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. See, Martha, it says in verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. And she was encumbered. She was busy. And let me say this. If we make a little application, we are so encumbered today. Schedules, culture, business, everything coming from every direction. You see, the average person today, they not only got something to write on, they got an earphone, they got a cell phone going, they got something else going. It's amazing to me. By the way, that's why it's so dangerous to ride down the road. You don't know whether they're texting, talking on the phone. I followed a lady one day. I followed her at a great distance because I saw what she was doing from this side of the road to that side of the road, talking on that thing. Now, not just ladies, men too, but encumbered. We're so encumbered today. So many things have our attention. We in a world today that is encumbered, and some of it is bad stuff, but a lot of it is just plain good stuff. It needs to be done. It's something that we have a duty to do, and we're busy, and Martha was busy, and I'm glad she had a work ethic, and that's what we need back in America again. We've got to the place where everybody thinks the biggest work you're supposed to do is fill out a form to get some help from the government. That's not work, by the way. Work is supposed to produce wealth instead of just consuming wealth and having wealth redistributed everywhere you look. But we're so encumbered today with so much stuff, and it might not be bad stuff, but it may be taking us from the best stuff. And that's what you have here in this particular story. The government, somebody says, what's the answer to the economy? Get government out of it and let people work again. That's the answer. Always was the answer. Americans will work and produce wealth. I'm not going to park on this long, but I got to say this. Government don't produce wealth. It takes wealth from those that do work. That's what's going on. If they just untie our hands and let Americans go free again, you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about every time you turn around, it's another 5 forms to fill out. It's another agency you got to please. The EPA wants to know about this, that. Did you see the crowd laugh the other night at the State of the Union message when the president mentioned climate control? What a joke. They're freezing to death up there with that global warming, amen? Yeah. Common people, even the Congress laughed at it. And that's saying something, brother, because they're about half guilty of the whole thing. But we're encumbered. Now, Martha's choice here was good, but it wasn't the best. And as I look through here a little bit, I consider what was the most important choice here. Let me say to you this morning, the most important choices you make does not necessarily have to do with material gain. Jesus warned over there, he said, a man's life doth not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. We think it does, but it don't. And, you know, Jesus said, and by the way, he is the authority. You heard Stephen talking about who he was in Sunday school. He is the authority. In Mark 8:36, Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? Didn't say he could gain it, but if he could gain it, what profit would it be if it cost him his soul? It'd be a bad deal. It'd be a bad deal. Now, we got a lot of examples of that in the Bible. In Luke chapter 12, you have the story of a rich man. Jesus said it was a parable. He gave the parable of a rich man in Luke chapter 12. That rich man looked around on his crops, and it brought forth abundantly, and he began to have a talk with his soul, and he said, soul, you've got many goods laid up for many years. Go ahead and take your ease. He had a conversation with his soul. Now, he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my old barns and I'll build new ones. And yet, the Bible tells us in Luke 12 that the Lord talked to him during the night and said to him, thou fool. Called him a fool. Thou fool, you hast goods laid up for many years. That's what he thought. But he said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be you're going to leave behind? And you are going to leave behind, folks. No matter how big your pile is, no matter how big your bank account or your holdings or whatever else, you are going to leave them behind when your call comes. And it's not the decision to gain material things. That's the big decision. Now, I'm for a man have it all. He works for and earns honestly. But bless God, don't make that your main purpose for being on planet Earth. You got a bigger purpose than that. So the decision choice is not just material gain. The dangers of riches is very real. If you saw in the news this week, the man that won the lotto, they dug his body up. See that? He got an interesting name. That's why I can remember it. It was Abraham Shakespeare. But you see, he nobody would have killed him if he hadn't won the lotto. All those millions, all it done was cost him his life. Now, maybe he wasn't as wise with some of his contacts. I don't know the story, except I know a man is dead and it's all over riches. And it leads that way so many times. Sad. It shouldn't be that way. And there's a danger in it if we abuse it. You read over in the Bible where a rich young ruler came to Jesus one day. It says he had a lot. He had wealth. He had youth. Yet he come to Jesus because deep in his heart he knew he was lacking something. And Jesus put his finger right on it when he pointed out to his riches. And the Bible tells us he went away sorrowful because the Lord told him, go ahead and get rid of what you got and follow me, basically. And he said, nope, price too high. Now go do that. So the Bible says he went away sorrowful. See, he made a decision, and the big decision, the most important decision, is not material gain. It is not that you've got to leave behind when you go. There's something more important than that. Now, I don't eat there much. Maybe I have sometime. I don't know, but I read a testimony this week that I thought was good. Testimony of the owner of the Chick-fil-A. Now, you say, Baptist preachers like chicken. Well, I have eaten some, but in all honesty, Chick-fil-A, they say, started out I think they invented the boneless chicken breast sandwich or something. I don't know. But it's a billion-dollar business. It's 36 years old. It's done really well as far as business goes. But I read a testimony of the owner that said, and I don't know how old the testimony is. I hope it's not been changed. But the testimony of the owner said, we close on Sunday. We close on Sunday because they said we want to honor God. Then they went ahead and said, we want to honor God and give our attention to something more important than business. That's a good testimony. And the truth is, there's a lot of things more important than business. More important than the material things that you gain. And here I'm saying to you that don't just make your life build around the things you can grab a hold of and hold and accumulate, because the truth is you're going to leave them anyhow. And the most important choice you'll make is not material gain. I will tell you what it is. The most important choice you can make is your choice about Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. That's the biggest. I mean, Mary here in the story, if you follow up on her, you'll discover that she seems to be found all the time at Jesus' feet. She's at his feet now. Martha's in the kitchen. She's fussing. She's saying, somebody needs to come in here and make the salad. And she's in there. And yet Jesus kind of rebukes Martha, says, you're cumbered about with so much. But he said, Mary has chosen the best part. And I say to you, the best part is at the feet of Jesus. It's your relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, look in your mind's eye this morning. What's your relationship with him? Where would you be found in this picture? Mary, we see at his feet. You can find her at his feet in John chapter 11 and John chapter 12. Even when he comes to raise Lazarus from the dead, Martha meets him first. Martha comes back and tells the message to Mary. Mary runs out and the Jews are following her. They think she's going to the grave to weep some more over Lazarus. But when Mary sees Jesus, she falls at his feet again. You read again in another place where Jesus is in a room and she comes in and she anoints his feet. And she understood something about Jesus Christ. I wonder, do we understand what Mary understood? He was God. He was important. The most important decision you'll ever make concerns Jesus Christ. And the truth is here, he should always be first. Jesus himself said in Matthew 6:33 over there, he said, seek you first. What's first? Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And all these things, material things, can be added to you. See, folks, we get the cart and the horse mixed up. You got preachers hear it all the time. Well, preacher, I can't come to church. I'm working. Yeah, I understand. Sometime that may be necessary. But I also understand sometime it's our decisions that put something else first ahead of the Lord when we're told to put Him first. I can just see a pile of folks at the judgment saying, but I had to work. I'm not against work. You ask my staff. There's been a lot of work went into this day. I mean physical work. I mean some fellows up here last night at 10 o'clock working. We're back working at 4:30 this morning to get all this stuff done. And I'm for that, but I'm not for it when the Lord has to be forgotten in it or placed second in it. He ought to be first. He ought to be first. And a choice about Jesus is the most important choice that you'll ever make. You know, it's the best choice because of what you get when you get Jesus. Think about it. We heard it in Sunday school so well this morning. You know what you get when you get Jesus? You get forgiveness of your sin. Now, if you don't have any sin, you don't need Him. As Stephen well pointed out, we've never met anybody like that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what sin is? It's transgression of God's law. Do you know God made man a little different? We got a little computer up here we call a memory. And you know what? That sin brings memory that produces guilt, and that guilt can stay with you through a lifetime. I mean, it can bother you. It can make you dream about it. Something you can't hardly get rid of, but I want to say to you, when you get Jesus, you can get rid of the guilt. You can get forgiveness of your sin. That's another life. It's under the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness is there. And listen, when God forgives you, it don't matter where men do or not. It's God first. Amen. Do you understand all sin, before it ever becomes sin, is always against God first? If a man says, well, I'm going to go out and cheat on my wife. Well, you cheated on God first. Because God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? Sin is a transgression of whose law? God's law. See? So we need to get a little picture on that. But we ought to put the Lord first. Make a choice about Jesus. What have you chosen to do with Him? Is He your Savior? I say to you, it's the best choice because of what you get when you get Jesus. You get forgiveness of sin. You get the guilt taken care of. We've been wearing these buttons, and on our buttons for our anniversary Sunday, it says, Peace Within in 2010. Now, not peace within Washington or Paris or London or the Middle East, but peace within here. Amen. And that can only come from Jesus. Peace within. What do you get when you get Jesus? Get forgiveness of your sin. You get peace within. The peace comes because He's taken care of the penalty of sin. And sin has a penalty. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the truth is, when you get Christ, as Stephen pointed out in Sunday school, He becomes our substitute that took the penalty that belonged to us on Him and paid the wage that we were to receive Himself. He was innocent, without sin, but you and I have sinned. But He become our substitute into stepping in and doing what we could not do, that is pay for our own sin. I don't care how good you are, you're not paying for your sin. Say, I've had folks say this to me, Preacher, I turned over a new leaf. I'm not going to sin anymore. How long does that last? And if it did last, which it don't, what are you going to do with the past? They got to be answered for too. It's got to be paid for too. But in Jesus, you get the past paid for, the present paid for, and the future paid for. Now, because you have received Him, you ought to do your best to live for Him. And you ought to know that it grieves Him when you do sin after you become His child. But bless God, in the weakness of the flesh, you will do some things wrong, but He'll still claim you as His own. And you still have forgiveness in Him. And He provides a righteousness that we can't provide ourselves. The verse was used in Sunday school. He hath made Him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? Jesus knew no sin. But He goes on to say that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's substitution, man. That's taking off my old sinful coat and taking on His coat of perfection. substitution, exchange. That brings a peace within, brother. I know some preachers one time. I see a preacher over here, Brother Ronnie. Knew some preachers one time went to a fancy restaurant. They had no business there, but anyway, they went. I don't know which one was paying the bill. But they went to a fancy restaurant. It was a restaurant where you just didn't go in your shirt sleeves. You had to be dressed up pretty fancy. They got the door, and the doorman said, "Fellas, you can't come in because you don't have coats on." And the local preacher that was trying to put on the dog and show the rest of them a fancy restaurant realized it was a long way back to the church where they'd left their coats. He needed to do something. And he said to the head man at the door, he said, "All you fellas around here, you employees, you wear coats." He said, "That's right." He said, "Don't you have a closet somewhere with some extra coats hanging in it?" The man said, "Yeah, I do." He went and got them coats, and all the preachers put on their coats. They went back to the doorman that had turned them down. Said, "Can we come in now?" He said, "You sure can. I recognize those coats." Now think with me a minute. When you get to heaven's door, you better have a coat on God recognizes. It won't be yours. It won't be mine. It's got to be His. His robe of righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ. I think about talking about substitution. I think about the story, and I may not have it all right in my memory, but a long time ago I read a story. Many stories came out of the French Revolution, bloody time, when heads were being chopped off with a guillotine. I read the story where a young lieutenant in the opposition army, the losing army, was captured. They had them all in a general prison, and it was a bad time, people being arrested all over the place and brought into prison, but one by one, the leadership of the rebellion was being taken out to the guillotine, killed. And after some days, this lieutenant was in there. He'd been wounded, he'd been abused, he was sick. He was in there waiting his turn to be called to be executed. His father, an old man outside, knew about it, and somehow or another got himself arrested on some kind of charge and brought into the prison. When he went in, and there was a good crowd of prisoners in there, he found his son laying over in a corner, sleeping, covered with his coat. And the old man slipped over to the corner and got his son's coat, put it on, and laid his coat over his son, and slipped on out near the front door. Sure enough, before daylight, some of the guards came, and they were reading a list of names of those to go with them. Everybody, all the prisoners knew they were going to have their heads chopped off. When the guard called out the name, I believe it was Jean Simon Perez, and he called it out, and the father stepped up and said, "That's me. Here's my identification." And he went out, and he went to the guillotine. Later on the day, the son woke up, some of the other prisoners told him what happened, said, "Your dad took your place." They don't know it. Just be quiet, and when we're released, you'll be saved. I want to say to you, one day I was in that dungeon, wounded and abused, no hope, laying in a dark corner, waiting for old death to call my name, for all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. But I want to tell you, when the call came out, Mickey Carter, somebody else had already answered for me. That was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that died for my sins, took my old ragged coat upon Himself, and gave me His robe of righteousness. Oh yes, when I stand before heaven's door, it won't be anything I've ever done. It'll be that He done it all for me. He finished it on the cross. He paid for my sins. And I'll stand robed in His glory, in a spotless robe, not tainted by sin. And I say to you this morning, it's choice time. Choice time. It looked like Mary might have been doing wrong, but Jesus said she made the best choice. The best part she chose at the feet of Jesus. She chose Jesus. Have you ever chosen him? Have you ever received him? Ever let him be your Savior? Do you know today, if you died today, death called your name for eternal fire, that Jesus has answered on your behalf? He will. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. He won't cast you out. I asked you this morning, if you love him as Savior, you trust him as Savior, you know he died for your sins to take your place, are you willing to leave the seat, come to the front? And by that very act, you're saying, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He died for me on the cross. I'll confess him before men as my Savior. That's what he wants you to do today. I did it one day. These men on the platform, these ushers, these people sitting around you, one day they received Christ as their Savior. That's what he wants you to do today. And he'll save you. He'll write your name in heaven. If you'll receive him, I pray you will. Let's bow our heads, please.